And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM, bringing you the news, the sources you don't get to hear very much about in the corporate-owned media. We're very pleased to be having on the program today Netfa Freeman. Now, Netfa is a solidarity activist with the struggles of oppressed people worldwide. She's a prolific author, radio journalist, writing for such publications as Black Agenda Report, and he's the author of Thinking for Ourselves About Venezuela on Black Agenda Report, which you can access today at www.blackagendareport.com. So, Netfa, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Brendan.
Well, it's a busy day for you, I know. This is the second demonstration or counter-demonstration that you've been attending alongside writing articles about Venezuela and what's happening. You're on the ground. You're writing things for online publications. And I guess it's in this context or this scenario where we're seeing a lot of coverage of protests, you know, in Ukraine, in Syria, and in Venezuela. And not coincidentally, these are all countries where the United States openly desires regime change. I was wondering if first you could tell us about how things got to be this way with violent riots and these other things that are occurring within Venezuela.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the violence, a lot of the violence that's taking place now, actually it's been periodic and has been going on ever since the elections, the presidential elections that took place last year. We're talking about around May. May of last year. And so sporadically, the right wing, who didn't want to accept the results of the election in Venezuela, have been doing various acts, have been attacking some of the health clinics and claiming that they were doing this because they were trying to find ballot boxes that weren't counted and things like that. And so unfortunately, some of this violence all the way back then were also taking lives and injuring people. And so while it had subsided at some point, there was a demonstration that happened in, a march that took place in, on the 12th of February, just last February, and that was a march that was marking the 200th anniversary of La Victoria, which was the battle in the independence of Venezuela from Spain. And it in that battle, the students played a critical role in the battle to win the independence. And so it's been something that's been marked regularly in Venezuela. But this time, certain opportunists and provocateur elements took this opportunity to try to incite violence and claim that they were also protesting different things in Venezuela, shortages of food and basic goods and things like that, crime, which these things are a problem, but they're not something that the government can be blamed for. You know, so they're using these opportunities. So, and they, in doing this, they ended up doing a lot of roadblocks, you know, setting, you know, things on fire to block the roads. They were even attacking police and attacking civilians. And so in the midst of, they were trying to use the march as a cover and trying to claim, well, the march was peaceful, but in the attempt to do these provocative acts, attempting to get the authorities to respond violently, and then they could look and say and accuse them of repressing a peaceful demonstration or a peaceful march.
It's interesting that this march is supposed to be something of a celebration. It's commemorating Venezuelan independence.
Right.
But the activity of people that we've seen on videos that you link to in your article, I've seen videos of people using fire, throwing rocks, wearing masks, and it wasn't part of, they weren't playing a positive role, or they weren't part of that large event. So these were, I mean, the videos I've seen are very provocative. And I'm just wondering, like, how has the United States reacted in their statements to what occurred with the riots and with the government?
Well, the United States is not acknowledging the violent acts on the part of the opposition. In fact, what they're doing is following the lead of the right-wing media, which is claiming that, you know, the government is repressing a peaceful demonstration. So they're saying, oh, we're calling on the government to, you know, stop violence and bring people to justice that have caused violence. So that's the, and then, you know, so that's what their stance has been. But then also, there's also too much evidence showing that the United States government, through things like the National Endowment for Democracy and you know, institutions like that that they have, where they actually fund the right-wing groups and also provide them what's known as what they call technical assistance. And this, obviously, is them advising people. Since we've seen this strategy over and over again in different countries, we know that they're giving people consultation on how to do these little provocative acts in order to destabilize the country and probably, hopefully, bring create a pretext for them to, for outside forces to come in and be and create a more decisive outcome in things like we've seen in Libya. The context and on the ground in different places, the particulars look different, but the essential strategy is always the same. Use incidents on the ground to provoke things and make it look like and then use the media to make it look like it's something other than it actually is, where it's accusing the governments of being repressive and unnecessarily and indiscriminately repressive, and then create a situation where the world has to respond and the powers have to go in and intervene in such a crisis. And so, to get to your question, this is what the United States is directly involved in actually doing these destabilization things. And there have been documents that Venezuela has been able to uncover that show the relationship of U.S. officials to even people in the embassy, which they've had to expel some people from the embassy in Venezuela because of their role in these things. So their hand in it, the public response obviously is a complement to what their covert activities are.
Well, as Mark Weisbrot recently wrote in The Guardian, they don't even try to hide it, right? They said that they gave $5 million in 2014 for funding the opposition in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. And as he says, this is almost certainly the tip of the iceberg. It's been going on for 15 years. It's talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. So I think going on what you're saying there, they only show us one side of protests or violence. So they are very selective in the footage they show us about who did what in Venezuela. We don't see the rioters using fire and attacking police. On the one hand, it seems there's a sort of double standard that they encourage people to behave in certain countries like Venezuela or Libya in a way that would never be accepted in the United States. But also there's this sort of protestism that the left here in North America is being encouraged to swallow. You know, we're supposed to sort of celebrate violent acts, random violent acts that are not attached to any sort of political progressive program. You know, so in the Ukraine, we're being asked to celebrate a movement to join the EU that has a large component of neo-Nazis. And again, we're not being shown that, just as we're not shown the violence of some members of the opposition in Venezuela. In Libya, you had a monarchist flying monarchist flag, supporters of the old regime, and people that were attached to the old Italian, right wing in NATO. They came in. It's very selective what we're shown. And it seems to me that at the very least, you should check out the political program of demonstrators, before encouraging people to support them.
You mean in terms of the left should check out the political program?
Well, they should, they should see what these are about and not just rely on something that was rapidly disseminated on Facebook or Twitter.
Right. And then what I think what happens is, one, the social media plays, it could play a negative or a positive role. In a sense, the immediate things that we see, we also always should look at them with skepticism, the things that come out right away. And usually those are things that are the initial propaganda from the forces that are trying to destabilize things. So they'll have doctored, we even uncover things where there are doctored photos on Twitter, making it look like police, and it's probably another country altogether, making it look like they're police from Venezuela attacking people and doing things. And then you'll see, well, they've photoshopped the emblems on their uniforms and things like that. But a friend of mine, Gregory Elitz, who's a very prolific writer about anti-imperialist stuff, used to say what immediately comes up is less dependable, and we usually have to wait until people can kind of find evidence and uncover things, more credible and more detailed things that can be scrutinized better to really find out what's happening in a place. And so that's what I think we're seeing here. And so now we have testimonies from people on the ground, particularly journalists like the ones that write for VenezuelaAnalysis.com, are able to actually detail things in a way that help us really weigh real evidence and be able to determine for ourselves the credibility of things that are happening. And that's what I think we really need. And so that's the advantage of social media is that we can get, like you said, YouTube is social media, so we actually can see these students or the young people, whoever they are, throwing Molotov cocktails and using some kind of fire, weapons to shoot fire and just attacking the police with rocks and things like that. That's to our advantage to be able to detail that so that when they're spreading their lies, we're able to say, well, no, there's another, here's the other side to this. And like you say, there's a double standard here in the United States. They make it seem that in these countries, if something does happen, where the authorities do have to use some type of a force, then that's repression and it's unwarranted. But at the same time, what is a place to do? I mean, you don't just allow a coup d'etat to happen in your country and people just run amok. So if they're provoked violently, the response inevitably is going to be violence. And they, in places like here, know that that's what the police would do. In fact, police here respond violently here in the United States, I'm talking about, and people haven't even done violent acts against them. And so it is a double standard. And then when we say, I'm careful not to say, just to use the term the left, it's a very broad term, but there are people that are, I guess, we'd say more liberal, on the liberal side of left, who actually, instead of embracing what I've seen, instead of summarily embracing these violent groups, they'll just have a reserved skepticism of what's happening. So they're never caught supporting some group that's anti. And plus, they also say, well, we're not for the right wing. We're not for the anti-government forces. And they're crazy. But at the same time, the Chavistas are not also good either. You know, so we have to, you know, they have to safely take a skeptical reservation from getting involved in taking a position, which I think to me is, on some levels, it's intellectually dishonest, and on another level, it can even be immoral, because if it's your government that you don't even hold to, you know, that same standard of scrutiny, is committing these acts, you have to do something. You have to take a position. You have to at least recognize the sovereign right of a country to for self-determination and call a spade your government's involvement in trying to destabilize a country.
It's a lot to say. People should check out your article. I'll give information about that later on. It's just about time for you to go, I know. Where can people find out about the protests and the counter-protests that were occurring in Washington?
Well, the Answer Coalition has been doing a lot of great publicizing of them. So there, where's their website? It's answercoalition.org, I think. But they have been putting out information about it, and also on Facebook. Now, I'm on Facebook too, Net for Freeman. And so if they put something for the demonstration, I'll post it on my Facebook page. And then also, there's Twitter and things like so Answer Coalition, I would follow them for these counter demonstrations in terms of knowing where to go and what's happening. And they also write-ups, you know, they've done articles that explain what takes place at the demonstrations and things like that. But in terms of following information of what's happening in Venezuela, there's the Council on Hemispheric Affairs that I think it's COHA.org, or it might be, and then also VenezuelaAnalysis.com doing great coverage of it, and they actually have reporters on the ground that are covering things and actually giving analysis along with the facts and information that they give.
I'll see if I can direct people to some of that information. Okay, well, I know you've been in transit and at demonstrations all day, so thanks so much for making your time available. It means a lot to us, and we're going to get this interview out. So thanks very much, Netva, for being on the program today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And that was Netva Freeman, and he is a journalist, radio commentator, prolific author, and activist, and you can find his work on sites such as the Black Agenda Report at www.blackagendareport.com. His recent article is entitled Thinking for Ourselves About Venezuela. And I'll see if I can give you a little bit more updates on where to find information after this short break. Just a reminder again then that you can find Netva's article. It's www.blackagendareport.com. It's about halfway down the page as of today, Thinking for Ourselves About Venezuela. He links to videos showing some of the violent actions that occurred. And also, you can find information about the demonstration by opposition supporters and the counter-demonstration. That's on the Answer Coalition, ANSWER, Act Now to Stop War and End Racism. We've got a very exciting sports program coming up next, so I'm just going to be signing out for Unusual Sources. Take a look at the article by Mark Weisbrot in The Guardian from the 18th. It's called U.S. Support for Regime Change in Venezuela is a Mistake. Very interesting commentary by Weisbrot. Again, Tuesday's Guardian.